I am Pastor Brent Oakland. I've been here for like 13 years. My original profession, I graduated from Oklahoma State University. Any Okies here? No Oklahoma people? Any Okies at all? Oh, you? Well, that's all right. Even though you're a Sooner and I was a Cowboy, that's all right. So we got one Sooner here. That's it. Anybody else from Oklahoma? Wow, I need to do a better job of getting people from Oklahoma here. All right, I'm originally from Oklahoma, got my bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering, and I wanted to be an astronaut. So where do you go? Where do you go if you want to be an astronaut? Where do you go? You go to Purdue. So that's how I ended up here, Purdue University. And God, when I got here at Purdue University, I started struggling with some depression, not because I was at Purdue, but because of some issues in my heart. And it was through the ministry of this church that God began to work in my heart, and God pulled me out of building rockets into building people. So that's what I'm all about now. And most of the truths you're hearing here at this conference were instrumental in taking me from that profession to this one. I ended up getting my master's in aerospace engineering. So if we need a rocket scientist around here, we got one, okay? But what we're studying won't require astrophysics or aeronautical engineering. But I have a passion for what we're talking about tonight in regard to this session. You've heard a little bit of it already. Pastor Vyers talked to you about some of it. I was sitting in his in the lecture, the last one he did over there, and heard there is going to be a little bit of overlap here. But do you think you've got it all right now? You think you've got it all processed in your brain? I don't think so. So could you use a little bit of overlap? Turn to your neighbor and say, yes. All right, fantastic. Now, you're going to get all the blanks filled in your notes. Don't be driven by the blanks, okay? I promise you, you'll get your blanks, okay? Right now, I'd rather you just listen and engage. I'm going to be doing a little bit of drawing up here. I got a tablet PC. I'll draw some. We'll get you the blanks. But right now, I want your eyes, and I want your ears, and I want you engaged with me. And here's what I want to ask you first. Number one, what if God gave you the key to human behavior? What would that do for you? If God gave you the key to human behavior, what would that do for you? Raise your hand if you think you have an answer. If God gave you the key to human behavior, what would that do for you? You look perplexed. Would you want the key? You would want the key. What would it do for you? It could give you self-control, one thing. What else would it do for you? Yes. Happiness? Okay, could give you happiness. Anything else? You can control those kids better, wouldn't you? What else would it do for you? Do we have any entrepreneurs in here? Why are you laughing, Bill? You're going to sell it. You can make some money. We could be like Dr. Phil, right? We can go on Oprah and get our own show. What else would it do for you? Make you responsible, possibly. Knowledge alone, though, may not do that. I have to act on that knowledge. I promise you, though, God has already given you the key to human behavior. It's not rocket science. He has given you the key to human behavior, and you don't have to take years of psychology classes or psychotherapy or psychiatry classes to figure out the key to human behavior. It is in the scriptures, and you have it. Now, let me see if you can inductively kind of get this out, and I know Pastor Vyers already mentioned it to you today. See how good you remember, but let me give you a scenario, and I want you to begin to analyze what is actually happening. Okay, let's imagine one February cold, snowy day. Is that hard to imagine? Let's say one February cold day. The family pulls themselves out of bed at around 6 o'clock a.m. in the morning. The alarm goes off, and the radio alarm starts going off, and the announcer says, there's 6 inches of snow on the ground this morning. The traffic tie-ups are already starting, and so it's going to be a long haul to work, you commuters. So the dad pulls out of bed, and he's already grumpy. You're laughing? Is that your husband? Okay, the mom pulls out of bed, and she goes and sits in her bay window and opens the curtains, and she is just drinking on her cappuccino or whatever they drink, and she is just enjoying that view. The kids jump out of bed, and they heard the news, and they're excited and fling open the drapes because of what they had anticipated was coming last night. And as the father moves outside to the to pull his car out of the driveway, he sees his neighbor grumbling and sharing with him obscenities under his breath about all of this as he scrapes off that snow and ice on his car. Now, you have the exact same event that, let's see, four people experience: dad, mom, children, and neighbor experience. They all experience the exact same snowstorm on a cold February day. Why do they respond differently? Why do they do the things that they do? Why do they respond differently? Perspective. Okay. Is that a biblical word? Perspective. The effects it has on them. What does the dad want? What does the dad want probably that morning? What does he want that morning? He wants a little bit of an easy way to work, and the snow is starting to come, and traffic ties up. That's why I gave you that little clue, piece of information. And that traffic tie-up begins to hinder him from work, and he knows that it's going to be a hard time to go to work. What is a mom wanting? Peace and beauty and all that kind of stuff. Little does she know that when the cancellations come for school, that she won't have the peace anymore. But right now she has the peace as she's looking at the snow out of the beautiful bay window there. And she got it. What do the kids want? A snow day so they can build Calvin and Hobbes snowmen kind of thing. Yeah. What? Teachers want snow. Absolutely. What does the neighbor want? What? The neighbor wants a shotgun, okay? For himself or no? Why do we do the things that we do? And why do we respond to the situations that God puts in our lives in different ways? How would you begin to assess why do we do what we do, Denise?
Personality.
Okay, personality. Let me push you beyond that. Role models in our family. All of those have influences in us. Basically, we're selfish. Basically, the desires of the heart. You do what you do. You do what you do because you want. Like, how did you guys know that? They're like, have you seen the videos already? Or you do what you do because you want what you want. Is this like rocket science? It is. I'm sorry. It's not rocket science. You do what you do because in your heart you want what you want always, always, always. You do what you do because you want what you want. Now, I'm going to develop this. You've heard a little bit of it already. I'm going to develop this from James chapter 4. I think this is an extended exposition of the heart in just a moment. So turn, if you will, to James chapter 4. The question we're asking, why do we do what we do ultimately? When the pressures come, when the pressures that God puts into our life, and I'm going to characterize this as the sun brings the heat. Something happens. We respond. We respond, and unfortunately, many times it's response and thorns and thistles in our behavior. But look at James chapter 4, verse 1. James says this. What is the source, if you're looking at your text, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Now, I'll stop just right there. The source. He's asking a question. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? I submit to you, as I draw up on here, quarrels, like our harsh words that we put out with people. Our harsh words, conflicts. Okay? Our mean actions that we ultimately perform, our mean actions, quarrels and conflicts. James is asking something like this. He's asking about our actions and our speaking. That's what he's asking about. What is the source of our actions and our speech? What is the source of our behavior? Behavior, okay? I believe that's the question that James is asking. Why do you do the things that you do? What is the source of your behavior in the speech that you give out that produces quarrels, in the actions that you do that produces conflicts? And James answers that question, and what does he say? Is not the source what? What does he say? He says, "Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members?" So down here underneath it all,